from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Paul Skeens, 2 strikeouts, an inning, and 2/3. So
we're on pace.
Yep,
we're doing fine.
Was it
PNC Park?
Yeah,
dude, they're doing like a little drone view of it. God, mm-hmm. That place is gorgeous. That may be, and I know historically it doesn't have the same cachet, but I've been to Wrigley, I've been to Fenway, which are the only two. Well, Dodger Stadium, been there. I've been to all the old stadiums still remaining. I think PNC Park might be number one on my list of ballparks that I haven't seen that I want to. Every time I see that thing, it just looks amazing. And now they got an okay team. And to go see old Skeens pitch there, that may be number one on my MLB bucket list right now.
Well, it's always at the top of the ballpark list.
Yeah, everyone just raves you know, about it.
But you got to go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, well.
Yeah, but like... I don't know. Like,
I mean, I guess Pittsburgh.
Camden Yards is one that people say you should go see, and that's, you know, in Baltimore. I mean, what are outside of the big ones? Again, so Dodger Stadium, Wrigley, Fenway, Yankee Stadium, even though it's, you know, new Yankee Stadium. I mean, what are the other, like, must-see ballparks?
I think Petco's amazing.
Yeah, Petco's a great one.
I haven't been and would really like to.
That's in San Diego.
Petco's a good park. And it's in a cool area down there.
I think what the Giants have going on is good.
Yeah. That's a good one. Been there.
San Francisco, at least, I've heard people compare PNC and Oracle Park because of the way they're both on the water and the sight lines that they have.
I will say Oracle is...
it's cool.
I always think of it as AT&T Park.
Yeah,
but,
it's been a bunch of things.
Yeah, dude, Oracle is a great place. We went down there and saw the Yankees just this year. That's high on the list. I'm with you. I don't know why I always forget that, but gosh, that's a kick-ass place.
Because Candlestick sucked so bad?
It's possible. Well, a lot of the old parks did.
Hey, what about the Trop?
To this day.
You guys in on the Trop?
I have seen so many games there, and there is not a worse stadium in any sport than Tropicana Field. Well, except maybe Oakland Coliseum, but that's just because they've just let it deteriorate. By the way, they did a ranking fan
Who's
vote.
Who's they?
Fan voting.
Oh, the fans.
Yeah, the fans.
Okay.
Top, they ranked every park in Major League Baseball. Number one, Oracle.
Really?
Yeah. They went Oracle number one. They went Dodgers number two. Obviously, Fenway 3, and you can guess 4. Wrigley Field.
The Trop.
And then PNC Park. There's your top 5. Let's see where Petco's at. Hey, Safeco, or now whatever the hell that thing is.
The Pink.
The Pink. They came in top 10. That came in at 9. Petco at 7. Yeah. So
what's bad? Like, so the Trop is bad.
Trop is bad. Oakland's bad. I'll go. Let me scroll.
What else? What's like the next worst?
Okay. So obviously they went worst being Oakland Coliseum because, well,
yes,
rats and Tropicana.
The Marlins. I bet the Marlins Park.
Tropicana 29. And the Marlins Field's at least new.
Yeah,
they went Chase Field.
Where's that?
That's Arizona.
Oh, okay.
And they're trying to get a new one built. That supposedly is a dump. They went
Angels.
Marlins is 27 Land or Loan Depot Park, which is funny because that thing cost $3 billion and is brand new. Yeah. And
they didn't do a very good job on
and
that.
People crap.
Oh,
on it.
White Sox got to be up there. That place sucks.
I've been scrolling here. Yep, there's the.
It's horrible.
Yep, there's the White Sox. There's the Nationals.
Oh yeah, I've heard not great things about RFK.
The Nationals.
Yeah, the Nationals.
RFK. Wait, they played RFK?
Isn't it RFK?
I don't think so.
Oh, is it Nationals Park now?
It's Nationals
Park.
RFK.
Yeah, they got their own stadium.
And the White Sox, sorry, I just scrolled past it. Guaranteed Rate Field.
Yeah, and that place sucks.
They just crap all over that thing. So, yeah, those are the worst.
Little hot ballpark talk.
Those are the
you guys.
Worst stadiums.
You guys want some impromptu ballpark talk? You just got it.
Because, yeah.
Bitches.
See, Detroit comes in at 19, and I found Detroit's Comerica. I found that delightful. I liked Comerica.
Yeah, never been.
Was a big fan. It's cool. A lot of good statues.
You know what one I hear good things about, but I'll probably never get there, is Target.
Yeah, Minnesota.
Minnesota's new one.
The other one that I want to get to that I haven't is I want to get to Busch Stadium. I want to get to the Busch.
Yeah, I've been there. It's cool. St. Louis is such a baseball city. It's just classic.
It just seems like it's got a good vibe to it. Yeah. I'd like to go check it out.
All right, back to our college football crab cakes. I wanted to point out that... of course, it was behind a paywall, so I couldn't read the whole story, and I refused. But Oregon Live, I think it was Dashiell that had it, that Oregon State is at 96% of last year's season tickets sold.
Tasty.
That's phenomenal.
That
good
is
for them.
Phenomenal. Is that not phenomenal? I mean, they sold, it's like roughly around 15,000.
Yeah.
But last year, you know, they were a top 25 team.
Absolutely.
Nobody saw any of this other crap with the Pac-2 and the Pac-12.
Jonathan Smith leaving and all
that. Yeah, all that. So think about how...
I love it.
How last year at the start of the year, Oregon State was on the come up. Like it was, you know, people were excited down there and they were opening the new part of the stadium, you know? And... they're at 96% this year. Think
I love
about,
it. Maybe circle the wagons.
Think about all the things that have gone wrong for Oregon State since that time, and the fans are still snatching up the season ticks. That's a good sign.
Yeah, I love that. I've said this multiple times. I'm worried. I'm worried that because you start out with Idaho State, which whatever, you'll bludgeon Idaho State, and then you're on the road at San Diego State, and that's the one that scares me because I don't
is
know
that Brady Hoke. Or is
think,
he gone?
Is he still down at San Diego State?
I just asked you that.
I don't know. I was just.
Aren't
was
you kinda, a sports guy?
That was kind of one of those rhetorical. Like,
Sean Lewis, San Diego State football coach.
So,
who the hell's that?
If that ends up, and I expect Oregon State to win that game, but if you lose that game, because right now Beaver fan is circling the wagon, I love it. Right, let's go, and there's some renewed hope with the Big 12 and maybe the ACC, and so I feel like there's like some life, right, breathing life into this thing.
Sean Lewis was the OC at Colorado last year.
That guy.
He was the guy that got bounced. I think for
bounced.
Shermer.
Yeah.
But he was there for all of 1 year.
Oh. Well, then hopefully San Diego State doesn't have anything going on.
That means we like him because he didn't jive
with Prime
and that stupid program.
So back
that
to
we hate.
This is my fear. So that we got some good juice going on. We're selling tickets. There's some renewed hope.
Oh no!
But if you lose to San Diego State, and who knows, maybe a coin flip game. It's on the road. A lot of new beeves. But if let's say you get clipped in that one by a field goal or something's close. You're back home the next week and Oregon comes to town. And I think that's going to get bad. I do. I think that will be...
Well, so what?
That's going to be a bludgeoning. And then you got Purdue coming.
The Boilermakers?
This is my fear. If you start the season and it goes south after that Oregon game, I wonder if the air will just get let out of the balloon and that beautiful new stadium they built and all of this goodwill, does it just go away? And do we just throw up our hands as a Beaver fan and just say, I'm done. Cause I did hear for a while, Beaver fan was a lot of them were like that. They're like, dude, I'm just not doing this. This is stupid. This is unfair. I don't give a damn. I mean, I heard a lot of apathy and that's great to hear about the season tickets. I just hope that, I just think that San Diego State game is a must win. I really do. I think that is a must win to keep the momentum going and maybe stave off what's going to happen against the Ducks.
Yeah, listen, I'm only coming at this from a college football fan perspective because I have had to deal with Kansas football for years.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, that is hard, and you do get some apathy when they suck and you don't really watch. So I what you're saying is definitely valid, a danger. But I feel like some of that, especially I'm looking at their schedule, like a lot of these games, pretty much all of their games besides the Oregon game and even that are winnable.
Yeah.
So it's actually going to be kind of an exciting, or it could be kind of an exciting season for them, even though fans are disgruntled about having to play. You know, the home games are Purdue and Colorado State and UNLV and San Jose State. That's not as exciting.
But it could be wins.
But it could be fun, yes. Yeah. And so I sort of feel like some of the apathy, while I totally get people initially going, you know what, this whole thing with Oregon State, I'm just done. I think when push comes to shove, particularly when it's your university, you're still going to watch. Most of those people are still going to watch. I feel like it's a bit like the people who are like, oh, Colin Kaepernick knelt, and I will never watch the NFL again. Yeah, right. You'll be right back next Saturday or next Sunday.
I understand, but there has been many, many a year where they don't feel Reeser at all. And that was before any of this stuff happened, which is why I said.
No, I know.
I think that would be normal. I think it's important to get out to a good start.
Yes, but I think that would be, like, look, Oregon State doesn't have the biggest and broadest fan base. No. It just doesn't.
No.
So even if they don't, let's put it out there initially that if they don't fill Reeser every game, let's not pile on them because they've never really filled Reeser.
I mean, yeah, they've struggled at times.
You know, and that was in the Pac-12. So I just feel like, yes, there's probably some people that are pissed off still. In the end, I don't know how. I guess it'll be interesting to see. I don't know how we'll measure it. Because I don't know that it should be attendance unless attendance just becomes like, and I don't see this happening, but what if attendance just becomes like 5,000 a game, 10,000 a game, 12,000 a game?
And I
just don't see that happening.
Well, this is where I'm going with it, that if you lose to San Diego State and get bludgeoned by Oregon, and then the Purdue game is a coin flip game, I wonder what that crowd against Colorado State the next week will be. Because it might be 12,000 people.
What'd they average last year?
Well, I think they packed it pretty much. I think that thing was full the entire time. I mean, that was a great environment. That was they packed that place. New stadium, other side, it was great. And they were good. That was a packed house. I hope they get off to a good start because if it goes south early, then you know, you get games against Colorado State at home, you get games against UNLV at home, San Jose State, you could end up with just a ghost town. You could end up with no one showing up. And I don't want that. Like I said, I and I'm hoping that the renewed belief that maybe the Big 12 or the ACC will come calling, maybe that kind of sustains you a little bit. I just think it's been a rough go for Beaver fan, and they're going to need some positive juju early on. They're going to need some, this isn't that bad. Because I think right now for Beaver fan, it's a little like, which way does this go? I've heard from plenty of them that are like, hey, this schedule is very winnable. You know, hey, we can win 10 games here. You know, we can still be relevant. Let's go. And I've heard the others that are like, my God, like, what are we even doing? Like, we don't even matter anymore. And that's why I said the momentum thing at the beginning.
These
are huge games.
I get it. I just think I think that even if they struggle, I feel like they have good fans. And college is just a little bit different than your average sport in a sense that there's just that connection to your team and you want to watch them. Yeah. You're going to be there, especially if there's some exciting games. So that's the thing about Oregon State. It's like some years, like when you're Kansas, back when we were really, really bad, there was no reason to watch because you knew they were going to lose.
Yeah.
That is not going to be the case with Oregon State, even if they start slow, right? Like they're with this schedule. Now, if they were in the Big Ten, you know, maybe you wouldn't be as high on them, right?
Yeah, but at the same time, like if I'm a Beaver fan and I'm not a season ticket holder, I'm just the average bro, and I'm used to seeing SC, Arizona State, Washington State roll through town, and now I look down at my ticket and I see UNLV, San Jose State, and Colorado State.
I get you.
And I just got done watching my team lose,
bad weather,
get bludgeoned, and now it's a little chilly and it's a little rainy, and I'm like, what? UNLV?
I get it.
I'm not doing this.
So if you want to go by attendance, average attendance, 5-year average for Oregon State is 32,882.
Okay.
That's their 5-year average.
Yeah.
Last year they were up to 37,000 on average.
Yeah.
What do you think they'll do this year? Well, I get you're saying it's based on how they do. So if it gets really bad,
I think
you think 10 to 12 grand?
I think you're going
to
be in the teens. I think you'll be in the be in 17 to 18,000. Okay. And in that stadium, it's going to look bad.
So that'd be half of your average.
I think it'll be about half the average. It's a big if. It's just if it goes south. And like I said, I think that'd be a shame because
hopefully not.
It's a great fan base and that stadium is beautiful. And I want the Beavs to succeed. So, I
feel like they're gonna...
I don't know. They are as big a wild card to me going into this year as any team. I don't know what to make of Trent Bray. I don't know what to make of the roster. I don't know what to make of the transfers that come in. And the one thing you say is the schedule outside of Oregon, it's not like it's a gauntlet, right? Those should be games that you can be in, that you can win. I just don't know what they're going to bring to the table. So I'm going to be cautiously optimistic, but with one hand over my eye at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, I agree with all that about the team. I know what to make of their fans, though, and I think they're really good.
Yeah.
And there's nice new shiny parts of the stadium. It's fun down there, and I think I have faith that even if they struggle, I don't think it's going to be as bad as you say.
Well, okay.
And I guess.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll revisit the attendance number late in the year.
Yeah.
What happens.
I just remember some years, man, when we were doing this, and it was bad down there. It was bad.
All right. The college football crab cakes continue next with hot seat coaches. Who has the most on the line? This is Isaac and Souk. I'm Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
On the Fan. Skeen strikeout watch. Bottom of the third, no score. Skeen has worked 3 innings. He has struck out 3.
Yeah, we need to pick up the pace. Just a scooch.
Okay, one last thing in our college football crab case. We'll talk a little more college football with Joey Harrington later, 5:30. But got to hear a list of the hot seat coaches.
Oh, all right.
2024. Who do you think is most on the hot seat?
Most on the hot seat.
This is Ross Dellinger putting this together.
Yeah, it's not going to be. It's not going to be like the Minnesota coach or something.
Well, there's one guy that we've been saying a lot. I think.
Yeah.
Billy Napier.
Yep. He's number one.
Yeah.
Florida.
Yeah. Well, and he's as good as gone. Like, what are the odds on that guy getting fired? They have to be just astronomical that he keeps his job
because of their schedule. You mean?
Yeah. They have the hardest. Like, I think it's the hardest schedule in modern college football history. And anything less than probably 9 wins gets his ass fired. So, there's just no way. Like, he knows he's getting
fired. I found those odds. He is 4-1 to be the first head coach fired, and that is the lowest odds.
Yeah.
That's not bad, though. 4-1, if you're saying it's such a lock.
If you think it's going to happen, that's worth a couple shekels.
That means if you bet 100, you win 400?
Correct.
Dude, I'll tell you. I am placing.
But he has to be the first. Not just get fired.
Be the first.
I am placing my $100 wager right now.
Yeah, but see, I don't know if he's first.
Dude, he gone.
Because anybody else could get, jettisoned with a scandal or something like that. So.
Napier, by the way, the other thing to consider is buyouts.
Mm-hmm.
Napier's buyout is between $25 and $27 million.
It's a good chunk, but it's also Florida. So you would assume that Florida has the balls to go out there and get something done. One would assume. So... he's got to be on the hot seat. Aranda's got to be feeling it a little bit.
He's number 2.
Right?
They estimate his buyout at 20 to 25 million.
He's 7-1 here.
I remember when I advocated for him to be the Oregon coach.
Well, he had it rolling there for a little bit.
He was really good.
And then it kind of just, it fell apart, right? And so, like, I'm trying to think of, I'm just...
Okay, so this guy, I think this is good money right here. So... I saw the odds too.
Yeah.
And this guy's next behind Napier.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think it's possible that he gets fired first. I think they probably both lose their jobs, but I think a dead man walking is Sam Pittman in Arkansas.
Oh.
He's 5-1. You know who's after that? Is Cristobal.
No.
Yes.
6-1.
6-1, dude.
Get out of here.
Aranda, 7-1.
That's silly.
Yeah, that is kind of silly.
He's going.
He's not.
He's going. He's been there 2 years. He's been there two years. His contract is enormous. What's his buyout?
Good question.
Dude,
stand
no.
by.
There is no. 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 Strong no. He ain't going anywhere. Okay. In fact, they even had
No. Strong no.
Dern Sprague had a guy on covering Miami that even was talking about this the other day, and I think he said something along the lines of, sure, there's pressure. Everyone knows, you know, if Mario needs to have a nice year, and, you know, they're expected to compete for an ACC title. But he even said, dude, anyone that thinks that guy is getting fired, minus some sort of, like, you know, 3-win season, it's just, you're silly.
8-year, $62 million deal, there's no way.
For a school that doesn't have a ton of money, no. Dude, that's dumb. Outside shot at this, is Wilcox facing any pressure?
Yeah, he's on the list.
At Cal?
Yep. He's at...
Which is interesting, though, because I feel like Cal, it's almost the best they can do with the situation that they're in, and I would think you'd want to hold on to him as long as you can, because he's a real football coach.
I really like him, and I think he does a great job, and there's not a ton of resources down there at Cal.
The resources there suck.
But, you know, to be honest, he's been down there a while, and it's not like it's a bevy of wins, and you've been through different coordinators, and he's never really gotten it on track, and... You know, Cal doesn't seem like the sort that it has a knee-jerk reaction to anything, but at some point, you usually do have to win. What's his...
Same odds as Ryan Day, 12-1.
Does he... See, and this is why people are just so stupid. So you're telling me that Justin Wilcox, who I love, and I love the Wilcox family, you're telling me that he has the same odds...
I am.
...at what he's done at Cal... As opposed to a man who's been at Ohio State for, 6 years and has lost 3 conference games? Get out. Stop it. Just stop.
I'm not going to stop it.
So this is, I wanted
That's
to,
what the odds say. Also. Look.
So this is Wilcox.
Well, hold on. Also 12-1. Pat Narduzzi at Pitt.
At Pitt. I've heard some rumblings. I don't follow Pitt very well. But I've heard some rumblings about people that are tired of waiting. Like when he was hired, he was viewed as the guy, he was the coordinator out at Michigan State.
And I don't even think Pitt fans follow Pitt very well.
No. But I've heard some rumblings that people are unhappy with him. But Wilcox, 5-7, 7-6, 8-5, 1-3, that's COVID, 5-7, 4-8, 6-7. I don't care where you're at. You're at a Power 5 school, now Power 4. Dude, that record is going to put you in some trouble. Even at Cal, eventually, he's got to win. The next year or two, he's got to win and start putting together 7 to 8 win seasons on the regular basis.
And the last guy on this list is Kalani Sitake at BYU.
Oh, really?
Your boy.
Kalani, huh?
Yep. But buyout of $8 to $12 million estimated.
That would surprise me a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, it would, because we don't have a lot of coaching options at BYU. And
that's true, because you have to be of the faith, right?
You have to not only be of the faith, but you have to be of the faith. Like, you can't be
a Jack Mormon.
Yeah, you can be an assistant coach there and be a little, But the head coach has to toe the line, and we just have limited options there. And he's been good.
Been all right.
So this is him. 9-4, 4-9, 7-6, 7-6, 11-1.
Whoa.
10-3, 8-5, and then last year 5-7.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's not bad.
You just had a down year last year.
Well, now you're in the Big 12.
He's been there longer than I remember.
Yeah, I've been there a bit. 2016. So. And he's been to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bowl games. Two losing seasons? No, dude.
He's fine.
That's another one. And the church doesn't pay a bunch of money. He doesn't make a bunch. The buyout's not ridiculous. You know, he's not going anywhere. Again, BYU is just, it's a unique school in that you just don't have a ton of options for your head coaches there. So
who would replace him? I mean, like, is there a name that
I'd have to look and see? I mean, again, some of the Mormon coaches out there, you may have some coordinators somewhere, you know, but there's just not a lot of.
What about Whittingham?
He.
What if he retires and then come? They pull him out of. Isn't he Mormon?
He is.
Yeah, they pull him out of retirement.
That's not going to happen.
Why? How do you know?
He could have come there whenever he wanted. He is at, he has a much better gig at Utah.
No, I'm saying he retires. And then they pull him out of retirement. Because he said he might retire. He's like 63 years old.
He said he was not going to coach past, I think, 62. And I think he's past 62. So,
oh, so he's a liar.
It does feel like he could go at any moment. In fact, they named his replacement already. It's the Morgan Scalley, the defensive coordinator.
Oh, the guy that...
That likes to use...
Didn't he get in trouble?
He used the N-word.
Oh, my God, really?
Did he text it, or did he...
Yeah, it was some text messages. So that's...
That's their new coach after Whittingham?
Yeah, yeah, they announced it this year. So they're not saying when Whittingham will step down, but again, he said he's not going to coach till he's past a certain point. He's already crossed that point. He's trying to backtrack on it a little bit, but, you know, he's not long. He won't be there for another 2 or 3 years. So, yeah, Scalley is the... he's the next guy.
Is Tom Homo still the AD there?
He is.
Maybe he can coach.
He was the coach at Cal.
He went winless at Cal, didn't he?
I beat him at Cal, and he called me a very bad name.
I think his team went
0-11.
Did he cuss at you?
He did. He called me the ultimate sucker.
Oh, wow. My God, really?
Tom Homo.
Mr. Mormon guy?
Yep.
Does the church know about this?
I don't know.
He's breaking honor, coach.
Did you just get him fired?
That would have been, what, 1999?
Yeah, they were 0-7 that year.
It was a questionable non-flag.
Oh, wait, they were 4-7, but vacated wins due to the use of ineligible player. Tom Homo's a cheating bastard.
Cheating sons of bitches. And
you Mormons.
There was a questionable no call on a potentially leg whip to the groin. By a BYU offensive lineman.
By the name of Jason Sukanik.
Let's not say who it was. Just someone. There may have been a leg whip that hit someone in the groin. Coach Homo did not think very highly of that call. Someone may have told him what he can do with his criticism. And someone may have called that offensive lineman. And I really appreciated this. It actually made me laugh. Not just a sea sucker. The ultimate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in a league of your own, buddy.
I felt, you know.
There are a lot of sea suckers out there.
Yeah, if you're going to get called that, do you get called the ultimate?
That's hilarious. So you just happen to be like right by the sideline there?
Yeah, it was like on a screen pass or something. And we all know that I was the world's worst screen blocker. And I mean this, of all time. Like, it was pathetic. And I went out and I went to cut someone and I missed in a shocking development. And as I rolled over and he ran by me, I may have inadvertently flung my leg up as I was prone to do. And it was a beauty. Just heel, groin, boom, right in front of the sidelines.
Mm.
How it didn't get called. I was even surprised.
Hi-ya!
I was like, ooh, that's a 15. And then I looked around and I was like, ooh, no flag. And that's when, and he was losing it. And I was kind of laughing at him because I knew there should have been a flag. And that's when I said something, and he responded back, at which point I laughed and jogged back. We beat him because they sucked. But
he went 12-39 at Cal and never got another job.
Hmm. Well, now he's the AD there at BYU.
Well, he's been there for years.
Yeah, he's been there a long, long
time.
Hasn't
he?
Yeah. He's been there a long time. And I always I guarantee for him, none of that stuff registers, but if I ever did meet him, I would like to.
Well, we should get him on.
I would like to introduce myself and be like, hey,
Buck, why don't you get him on?
Okay. Do you want me to try?
No.
Okay. I just want to make sure that I actually know.
That would be what we would call that's gotcha journalism. Hey, Coach Homo, do you remember a little game 1999?
There's no way he remembers
that. No, zero chance. Well, that's the thing is when you meet coaches years later, I went back to a BYU game, I don't know, 10 years ago, something like that. Me and my buddy went down, and you would think, and I was a fairly memorable guy, and you would think that people would remember you. I went up to a one of the defensive coaches who I knew pretty well, no idea who I was. And so I was like, oh, you know, like, you remember? And I told him, and he did the, oh, yeah.
Hey, guy.
Yeah. And that happened to my brother too. I remember at a charity event, he ran into one of his offensive coaches, and it was the same sort of thing. And you just realize, dude, those guys get when you're a coach there for 15 plus years, how many people do you see roll through there? You just, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, what if you reminded Holmo that you were the ultimate sea sucker? Would he remember you then?
I do. That's what I wonder. For someone who probably doesn't curse a whole lot and is a pretty nice guy.
You might not remember me, but you did call me this. Yeah. Oh, now I remember.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I would hope that he would double down on it.
You leg whipping piece of.
And then he hangs up angrily.
Again, to be fair to him, awesome. This is pretty bad.
I'd want nothing more for the show than that.
Slams it down.
Now I want to see the play.
Hey, Deal is in on the Vancouver Fort text line. I heard Art Briles has started attending Temple on the reg. Next BYU coach? Let's get it.
The list of Mormon coaches in college football.
Do you have a list?
Yeah.
Like, who else is Mormon?
So, Jay Hill.
Who's that?
He was the head coach at Weber State.
Football?
Yeah, he was the head coach.
They have football there?
And now he's, shocker, he's now at BYU. Again, Paul Peterson, Dixie State.
Whittingham.
The defensive line coach at USC, Vic Sooto. He's a Mormon guy. Dude, none of these. Dude, you're talking about like the Boise State defensive line coach, the Virginia co-defensive line or defensive coordinator. I played with him. It's a lot of ex-BYU players.
Okay, well.
Kellen Moore.
Oh, Kellen Moore.
There you go. There's the name.
I didn't know he was LDS.
Where's he now? He's with the
Chargers, right?
No, Eagles.
Eagles.
He's with the Eagles.
Yeah.
So he's dealing with Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. He won't go college, will
he? No. The list of people for that job.
But that would not be a bad hire, though.
No.
In fact, Sitake left.
Of those hires, that's like.
If you could get him.
If you can get him. It's just, it's tough, man. It's a tough job.
Did he go? He didn't. No, he went to Boise State.
Yeah, Kellen Moore went to Boise State.
Yeah.
But he's an LDS guy. And then we asked the question, like, is he actually LDS?
What a loser.
Well, there's a difference between, you know.
Yes, you and a real Mormon, yes.
Well, I'm not anymore.
I know, but when you were supposedly Mormon, you weren't a real Mormon.
I tried.
Kick you out of there.
I tried.
No, you didn't.
I did. It's like 3 years.
Try harder.
It didn't work.
All right, we got to go. We're going way too long today. Those are your hot seat coaches. And that wraps up College Football Crab Cakes. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, we got to go because it's Foo Friday.
Ow!
In the news is next. Here's Buck.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Yeah! All right, going to be an abbreviated ITN today. We have gone long shooting the breeze about Tom Homo and college football. It is August 16, 2024. It is time for In the News. I'm your newsman. Hello, thank you. Today is two things I hate. Well, I don't hate. That's a strong word.
Dislike.
Two things I dislike. One is National Roller Coaster Day.
Oh,
not a big fan.
I don't mind a roller coaster.
And it is also National Rum Day.
Oh, you don't like rum, huh?
No.
Oh, sign me up.
It's fine, but it's not my first choice. Or second. Or third. Or fourth.
It's probably on the medal stand for me. I mean, it's certainly not one.
Top three.
And it's not two, but I'll put it on the medal. I'll go bronze.
Okay.
I mean, rum, you can mix rum with anything, and I'll drink it. I mean, rum is, it's great. I mean, it's not whiskey, and I'm assuming we're counting scotch, right?
This year?
Whiskey, scotch, all one thing. Can we just say brown, all-encompassing, bourbon, whiskey, scotch, one? Vodka, too. Give me a nice, solid rum on the medal stand. And there's nothing wrong with bronze. Get a parade for a bronze.
It is Foo Friday.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. I'm getting a little excited.
I think it's going to be a good show tonight.
Yeah. But I got a little. It's going to be a good run for me because I got the Foo tonight. I got the White Buffalo tomorrow.
Whoa. Where's he?
Roseland.
Okay.
And if you don't know the White Buffalo, I'm telling you. Ask somebody, find out, get to the Roseland. That dude, badass. And then 2 weeks, I got Metallica in Seattle. And then 2 weeks after that, I got Metallica in a little place I like to call Mexico City.
Mm.
Yeah. It's going to get sideways.
That's hot.
Yeah. Three nights, Mexico.
Those are all bands you've seen 800 times, though.
Yes.
Which I find interesting.
Yes. Metallica is well over 30. The Foo's probably in the low 20s, and the Buffalo is probably 20 times too. I love concerts. And if I've seen my favorites, why wouldn't I want to see them again?
So the Foo Fighters show is tonight at Prav Park. Sold out show. They're saying, what, like 30,000 people?
30,000. Let's go.
First concert at that stadium in 20 years. The stage is, they put the stage where the South Goal sits in front of the Mac Club there.
Yeah.
Big old stage over there.
Oh, it's going to be phenomenal.
The GA, the general admission ticket holders all began lining up early this morning.
Yeah, because they're
just doors are now open.
They're good. Yeah, they opened at like 4:30, right? And then there's
four,
and then, yeah, it's just going to be a big old pit down there, and I'm behind the pit.
So the pit, so is it, because I saw the layout.
Yeah.
The field is all GA?
No.
It's not?
No. So they've got there's the stage, and then the stage has a big like catwalk.
Yeah.
And then on each side of the catwalk is the GA. There's a big old pit down there. Mm-hmm. And then behind that
are seats.
There'll be a fence, and then there'll be a seat.
Okay.
So I'm on the floor behind the pit.
So you're at like pass. You're at midfield on the north side, or like over towards the north side.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where the Timbers Army. On the Timbers Army side.
No. We'll be much closer than that.
I know, but I just mean on that.
Yeah.
They're over there.
Yes.
The stage is on the other
side.
There.
Yeah. So it'll be, and I'd like to think this being the first big concert like this in Portland and this long where you have this, I'm guessing.
It's going to be big.
I'm guessing Dave is going to acknowledge this and bring a little something. Going to bring a little something extra tonight. I feel it.
Okay. Well, we are 1 week from the start of the Oregon State Fair.
Oh.
A real concert.
Hell yeah, let's go.
Who's playing? I knew you'd ask.
Let's go.
I'm going to tell you next on The Fan. All right, wrapping up in the news here for August 16, 2024. I've got more concert news. You know, next week is the start of the Oregon State Fair.
Can't wait. Wait, where is it? It's Salem, right?
Yeah. Come on, man. It's always down there.
I'm not going to lie. I don't go to the Oregon State Fair very much.
The fairgrounds?
I don't go a lot to the Clark County Fair, which is, I think, going on right now, or was last week.
The 2024 Umpqua Bank Concert Series at the Oregon State Fair kicks off with Craig Morgan next week, 23rd. When is that? That'd be Friday night.
Okay.
Do you know Craig Morgan?
I do. He sings...
Is he a country guy?
Yeah, he sings Redneck Yacht Club.
Okay. Do you know Steel Pulse?
No.
I've heard of Steel Pulse. Why do I know Steel Pulse?
Because they're playing the Oregon State Fair?
Well, no, they have like one hit, I think.
I know Steel Panther. Are they playing? I'd go see Steel Panther.
They'll be on Saturday night. Then Monday night, the Goo Goo Dolls will be out at the Oregon State Fair for all you swooning cougar ladies.
I don't want the world to see me.
Yeah, that was like the...
Because I don't think that they'd understand.
That was like the featured song in...
that Nicolas Cage...
And Meg Ryan movie, yeah. City of Angels.
I think it's called, like, is it Cyrus or something? The song?
Iris.
Iris.
Yeah. Very popular hit.
The Goo Goo Dolls.
Man, that thing slapped.
By the way, if you're wondering if another rock star is turning into a middle-aged lesbian, I recommend you look up the
lead
singer of the Goo Goo Dolls.
Just
Google Goo Goo Dolls lead singer.
What a terrible name for a band.
Seems a little weird.
John Resnick. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I wanted to say Trent Reznor, knew that was not correct.
Yeah. You are not kidding.
Seriously.
Whoa.
He's like, kind of always had that thing going on, hasn't he?
Yeah,
but now even more so.
He has, but...
Yeah, I'm telling
you. Holy crap.
Dude, if you showed up to a... If you showed up to a pottery wine class...
Wait a minute.
Also diversity training exercise...
I'm sorry.
He would be
leading. Wait, time out.
Yeah.
Serious question.
Yeah.
This is a serious question.
Yeah.
Is he transitioning?
No.
Are you sure?
I am sure. He is just... I'm telling you, there is something about being a celebrity, especially a rock star. You reach a certain age.
Is it the pointy spiky hair thing? Is that what's
going on? It's like his hair got cut by a computer. Yeah, it's a thing. And then they do the Botox, and then the face gets pulled back, and then you get a sassy mom haircut, like you're going to a PTA meeting.
I might go out there just to see what he looks like.
Yeah.
He's fascinating. Okay, yeah. Tuesday, Young Gravy. August 27th.
Young.
Oh, right. That's, is that a rapper?
Yeah.
I guess. Huh?
Young Gravy is he's a big tall guy, and I guess his whole thing is he sleeps with old ladies.
Oh.
That's like his...
He's all about the Cougars, huh?
Yeah, it's like his bit. Like,
I've joked Cougars.
It happens. Will Ortner will love, like, Young Gravy. Like, if you go to a Young Gravy concert, I'm guessing it's just a lot of Will Ortners.
Okay, then we have Josh Turner plays... August 28th. I don't know who that is.
He sings like... He's got one of the deepest voices in music.
Did the Mariners just trade for him by chance?
Not quite. This is
Justin Turner.
This is basically Josh Turner.
Can't wait. Ludacris, August 29th.
Okay.
Boy, that's sad.
Well, if you have hoes and area codes, it's got to include all the area codes.
Daya. August 30th.
Don't know who that is.
Damn.
Foreigner.
Yeah. Hot-blooded.
August 31st.
Foreigner. I love it.
Yeah. And then September 2nd, the last show at the Oregon State Fair will be Huntley.
Don't know Huntley.
Whoever that is.
Couldn't tell you.
I think Huntley is a country music act.
So I would assume the highlight of that is Ludacris, right?
Or Foreigner. Well, what's, I guess it's by the date, it'd probably be that last... Well, Foreigner plays that last Saturday night.
Yeah, Ludacris,
that's a big show.
Ludacris. Oh, Huntley's the guy that won The Voice.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a white dude with long braids.
Oh, that's Memorial Day, right? September 2nd.
So we're saying Foreigner or Ludacris is the highlight of that thing?
I think it's Foreigner, only because I like them.
Sure.
Foreigner's sneaky good. You should, like, Look,
yeah, they got hits.
Yeah, they do. They have a bunch. They have a bunch more than you think.
And that's going to play better at the fair than Ludacris is.
For sure.
Really?
Well,
I'll bet you Ludacris does real well.
Who do you think does better at the fair, Foreigner or Ludacris?
See, I think Ludacris.
I think maybe Ludacris too.
Because well, like
he might be a bigger draw, but I feel like the fair crowd is more of a Foreigner crowd than a Ludacris crowd.
I just feel like. You don't know Salem very well. I think there's a lot of people like our age.
Yes,
like
I agree.
BTJ, if I told her that I was taking her to see Ludacris, she'd lose her S and be like, hells yeah.
Well, maybe she should be informed that he would be playing at the Oregon State Fair.
You shut your dirty mouth. That would be one of those, I guarantee, about a day or two before, she'd be like, did you know Ludacris is coming? And then I'm going to have to be like, oh.
Oh, what? Right, oh, man.
And then she'd be like, can you get tickets? And I'll be like, maybe, but it's too late.
I'll try.
I didn't ask.
All right, that's in the news. August 16, 2024. Coming up next, we've got the hot, very hot 5 at 5, followed by Friday Fartabouts and Joey Harrington on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.